Let's give the Lord a hand praise for that wonderful section. Amen. Amen. And, amen. If you have your program, I'd like you to turn to the very back of your program. And on the back program, back of that program, you'll find the scripture we're going to follow and the message outline we hope to follow closely today. Our scripture comes from the book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 60, verses 1 and 2, and John chapter 8, verse 12. I'm reading it from the New King James Version, and it reads, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people, but the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you." Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." So I want to speak to you again, as we started this last week in the 58th chapter of Isaiah, and our subject was the Lord, what the Lord has chosen. And those words actually are written in that 58th chapter of Isaiah, what the Lord has chosen. And we spoke about the Lord having chosen to be a blessing to us. He's chosen for us to defeat all evil, wickedness, sin that comes in our lives. And Isaiah, he goes through quite a bit of that in that 58th chapter. But today, as we look at the 60th chapter, Isaiah continues with what the Lord has chosen. And I want to try to lift up some things that the Lord has chosen for you and I as we go into the new year. And it is instructive and helpful if we will hear what the Lord has chosen for us. And I got a chance to read some of men that have preached this over the years. And one of the things that kept coming up, even from the Lyman Beecher lectures at Yale University, one of the things that kept coming up was this idea of getting up. The law says, arise. Don't stay where you are. And as we go into the new year, I want you to get that in your spirit. I need to not stay where I am. I need to arise. Now, you want to rise with the power that God gives and the strength that comes from the Lord, but you want to make sure that you have in your spirit this idea of arise. And so when we look at this passage of scripture, it says, "Arise, shine, for your light has come." One of the things that C.H. Spurgeon says is that we can, I really like reading Spurgeon. He's very long-winded, but he has some very strong thoughts and has a really strong commitment to our Christ. And one of the things Spurgeon says is that when you read this text, he says, slow down. Don't read it too fast, because when you read it fast, you'll get the arise and you'll get the shine, but you might miss, he says, for your light has come. And one of the things I want to try to lift up, in fact, Spurgeon says, it is the first thing you should lift up when you read this text, is that if you're going to rise and you're going to shine, the only reason you can rise and the only reason you can shine is because your light has come. So he says, start with that. Start with your light has come. You have the privilege of light being in your life. And Jesus Christ is the light of the world. And so he says, and I agree with him, start with the privilege. You and I are privileged people. We have the privilege of having Christ in our lives. That's a privilege. And the privilege that the light of God has come into our lives, God says to us, now don't forget, your light has come. Our Christ has come into our lives. And if you have not accepted him, he's knocking at the door. In fact, the scriptures in Revelation says, "Behold, I knock at the door. And if any man, any woman, any teenager, any child, if they open up the door, I'll come in. And so we have this Christ that is knocking at the door. He wants to be in our lives. Now, once we get that, once you get the Christ wants to be in your life, doesn't matter where you are. You might be in prison. Or you could be in jail. You could be wherever. You might be in the White House or on your way to the White House. Whatever you might be, God said, I want to be in your life. He wants to be in each person's life. And when Christ is in our lives, then what the prophet Isaiah says, and one writer says, Isaiah is the Apostle Paul of the Old Testament. Isaiah wrote more in the Old Testament than any other writer, and he is quoted more in the New Testament than any other writer. Any other prophet you name, Isaiah is quoted almost as twice as much as anybody else. And so when we look at this prophet Isaiah, we want to make sure we hear what God is saying to us, because God said a lot through this prophet. And this thing that he's saying to us today is that your light has come. It's telling you and I that the power that we need, the strength that we need, the energy that we need, the vitality that we need, all of that comes through our God. In fact, if there's no light in the world, then we won't even be able to have food, because all the food that we eat comes through light. Your vegetables and the animals can't eat. They can't eat the grass. And I love my beef. Now, I love beef. But I can't eat beef if there's no grass. And there won't be any grass if there's no light. And so God is saying to us, the light of the world has come, and he is that which brings energy and vitality to all of us. Even the unsaved, even those that reject him, he still blesses. Why would God bless the unsaved? Because he uses the unsaved, my brother and sister, to show us that he cares for everybody. He doesn't just love believers, he loves unbelievers. He doesn't just love saints, he loves sinners. And then every saint was once a sinner. And so God said, I love everybody and I want to draw everybody to me. But he also loves us enough to give us a choice. He doesn't force us. He doesn't make us. You get to decide. You can say, God, I don't want you. And God will keep trying to reach your heart all the way up until your last breath. And then when that last breath comes, God says, then your decision now is final. Whatever you've done, If you do like that thief on the cross and say with your last breath, God, I want to be with you, then God will say, just as he did with that thief on the cross, this day you will be with me. But at the last breath, you say, I still don't want you, God will not force you. He will let your decision, he always honors your decision. And so I'm going to try to encourage you, let's choose what the Lord wants for us. He's the one that made us. He's the one that blesses us. He's the one that smiles on the just and the unjust. Let's choose what the Lord wants for us. And so the question is, what then the Lord has chosen? What has the Lord chosen? Well, the first thing he says, your light has come. So he chooses for us to arise, to stand up. To not get bogged down with the burdens of life, not get bogged down with things you don't like, not get bogged down in bad habits. God says, arise. And then when he tells us to arise, he then says, shine. Don't just stand up. Stand up and then glow. Let the glow of the Lord be upon you. It's always good when we can let our light shine. And remember, Jesus said, now, don't have a light and then hide it under a bushel. Don't hide it under, don't hide it at your house. The only time your light shines is when you're home by yourself. No, God said, no, don't have that kind of light. Let your light shine wherever you go. Let your light shine on your job. Let your light shine when you're at school. Let your light shine in your community. Let your light shine wherever you are. Let your light shine. And so our God says, arise and shine. Rise, shine. And when God tells us that, he then says, the glory of the Lord will be upon you. So let me make sure I get this correct for you. The first part of the outline, the Lord has shown that you arise. A, B is shine. I see that your light has come. Acknowledge that Jesus Christ is the light. And that light has come. And D, the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. God in his infinite glory wants to share his glory with you. He lets his glory be upon you. Now please note, he's not giving you the glory. He's just saying, I will let it rest upon you. The glory can be with you, even though it's still not going to be yours. It is still the Lord's. I used to have to struggle when my sons were teenagers. If I would let them use my car, I said, "This is not your car." And I'm glad my son's got his sons coming up now. I'm just going to be laughing when he tells them. Yeah. This car, I'm loaning it to you for a short while. It is not yours. I need you to respect it. I need you to act like I'm in there with you. There are certain things you do when it's not yours, it's somebody else's. And God said, this glory that I have, it's not yours. I'll let you use it. I'll let you benefit from it. I will bless you with it, but the glory belongs to God. And so that's why our lives should always give God the glory. In 2025, I pray that you will give God the glory. He deserves it. It's his already. But he will let it shine upon you. And so he says, the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. Then he tells us this. The second part of the outline. Our Lord God does acknowledge. It's just one word I want you to write in there. God acknowledges the darkness. We're going to have to deal with darkness. And so verse 2 said, behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. There is going to be darkness. And God acknowledges that. In 2025, God is already telling you, you're going to have some dark days. Some days you're not going to feel great. Some days you're going to have leaders that are not going to be acting great. Maybe a whole Congress not acting great. You're going to have to deal with some struggles. And you're going to have to deal with some darkness. And so God just puts it out there right now. You're going to have to be willing to deal with darkness. And he says it will be deep darkness. And it's not going to cover just one area. It's going to cover the whole earth. That's a scary thought. Darkness covering the whole earth. That makes me sad. That makes me tremble. I wonder how dark will it get? Will you be able to function? Will you be able to operate in that darkness? I've been living in my house for 27 years, something like that. And I've always been able to walk to the store. So the other night, it's about 10:30 at night, I decided I wanted to get a 7-Up. And I decided I'm going to walk around to the store. It's a 7-Eleven, about 3 blocks from me. I'm going to walk around there and get a 7-Up. It was 10:45, 10:45. I said, now they open 24 hours, so I can just go anytime, but I don't want to wait too late. And my wife was already asleep, so I said I wasn't going to wake her. I'm just going to go. And as I was going, right on Crenshaw and Washington, I started feeling something that, like somebody was behind me. So I kept looking around, and wasn't nobody there. Went on in the 7-Eleven, got my 7-Up, came back home, and got back home, and got back in the bed, and I kept wondering, I wonder what that feeling was. Because it was just almost like pressing on me that somebody's behind you. And then you know what the Lord did? He reminded me, you just read it last week, 58th chapter of Isaiah, God says, I will be your rear guard. You know who was behind? It was the Holy Spirit behind me, letting me know, you're not out here by yourself. Our God will be behind us. He'll be our rear guard. Here, even in the darkness, remember the Lord is behind you. The Lord has promised he'll be our rear guard. Then let me close with this. He says in verse 2, behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, deep darkness of the people. But, somebody say but. But the Lord will arise over you. His glory will be seen upon you. Our God will arise. Now remember, he told us, he said to you and I, for us to arise. But he also wants you to know he's going to rise also. Our God will rise in our defense. Our God will rise to let us know we're not in this by ourselves. I'm glad that I got a God who's a risen Lord. He got up out of the grave on the third day, and he declared all powers in my hand. I got a God who's risen. And because he's risen, he says, I will arise with you. And the glory of the Lord will be upon you. God will arise, and he will make his glory be upon us. He will keep us. He will bless us. He will protect us. He will stand by us. He will be in our midst with us. God has said, behold, if two or three of you will gather together, I will be there in the midst. Our God will be with us. And so I declare, like it was Aaron, the brother of Moses, Israel's first high priest. When he would address the nation of Israel, and he did it almost every New Year's for the Jewish people, which is September, I think it is, but around that time, the high priest would stand before the nation, and he would say, arise! But he wasn't talking to the people. He would say, arise! Oh God, make your presence known to your people. Our God tells us here in this text in Isaiah, God will arise. Now, Isaiah wasn't a high priest. Isaiah was just a prophet. But he was declaring what the high priest had declared at the beginning of the year. He says, arise, oh God, make your presence known among us. And our God says to us, the Lord will arise over you. When God rises, my brothers and sisters, everything else has to go down. The devil has to go down. Darkness has to go down. Troubles have to go down. Anything that comes against you has to go down because our God has risen. We have a risen Savior. And so my prayer in 2025 is, oh God, arise. Arise, let your people feel your presence. I'm going to stop right there. Will you stand with me now? We're going to ask, maybe somebody here today wants God to arise in your life. Maybe you want to accept him as your Savior. This is a good time to do it. First Sunday of the year is always a good Sunday. Man, woman, boy, girl, teenager, young adult, senior citizen. Let God arise. You can fill out my decision today, turn it in off and play, or you can come forward. We'll be right back. He's worthy to be praised. And I want to acknowledge persons that have joined in 2024. I actually want to have you come forward because I want to serve you your first communion of 2025. So if you joined last year, come on forward. Anybody that joined last year, just come right up to the front. Come right on in. We want everybody to see who our new members are, and we also want to be able to serve you your first communion. Yeah, just line up right up across the front here. Deacon Jett, make sure I got the communion basket. We're going to serve these persons that are standing here. I forgot about Kamisha, that's right. All right. Yeah, got our boots kicking 2024 out. Yeah. Right. Mara, I see you standing by your husband. You just joined too? You know what I mean? All right. We're going to move the communion to right now, and then we'll do the church covenant after that. Because I want you to stand with us as we all partake of this communion together. Yeah, will you please stand with us? We believe in Jesus Christ. He is the head of the family. He makes all of us family. Okay. Oh, we have people behind. Oh, okay. We have. Let me serve these persons. Let them take the veil off. The scripture does teach us that the veil was rent in two, so we unveil the communion, gives us all access to Jesus Christ. And before that, only the high priest could go in. Jesus Christ then rips that veil and says, everybody can come in. Everybody has access to our God. And so, I always like to have the veil lifted just to demonstrate that it's for everybody. Everybody has access to our God. Now, if you will lift the first tab. And I'd like for us to try to sing a verse, I Know It Was the Blood. Can we do that? This fruit of the vine, that it might be representing your body, representing your blood that was shed for us. I pray that you would move in each one of our lives as we take this first communion of the new year. Bless now, we pray. We ask for this blessing in Jesus' name. If you lift up the bread, this bread says it symbolizes the body of Jesus Christ that was broken for us. Let us eat all of it. Let the church say amen. If you now lift up the cup, this cup has the fruit of the vine. The fruit of the vine represents the blood of Jesus Christ. Let us drink all of it. Let the church say amen. I'm going to just let you go home with your church coming. You have it.
Thank you for joining today's broadcast of the Trinity Baptist Church. We trust you've been nourished and inspired.
Not unto him, they will keep us from falling.
You're welcome to worship with us in person.
Great shepherd of the sheep.
At our 10:30 a.m. worship service
from the dead.
Right here on the Trinity campus.
The blood of the everlasting covenant.
Also, if you are
not saved with Jesus Christ,
would like to sponsor the broadcast,
grace and power now,
contact the church on.